chapter 10. You know, I know I think every series I say this, but Acts is right now, it's like my favorite book in the entire Bible. I know I've said that about a lot of other books, but it's been fascinating to go through it again. So let me read to you from 17 to the end of the chapter. This follows directly after what Mike read earlier. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house, and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered, as Mike said, Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as his witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit would be upon us, that you would speak to us from your word. And I ask that you would speak through me, Lord, and beyond me even. Speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. Be at work this morning. Glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, work in each one of your children. Call in who you would call in, but work, please, and glorify your name. And in your wonderful name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Okay, so yesterday, I had a weird experience, or at least it seemed to me a weird experience. So through the dog charity that you guys have heard me talk about before, I was in southern Mooresville. I was at, maybe, I know we got some golfers in here, maybe you're going to say you've heard of this place. I was at this place that used to be a farm, clearly. There was an old farmhouse there, and I was sitting on the farmhouse's porch. But it's a golf course called Eagle's Landing. Does that ring a bell to anyone? Okay. Well, anyway, I was there for a golf tournament that was being put on by a thing called Outdoorsmen for Christ. And I was there because we'd been asked to sponsor a hole, Redemption Ranch, the charity I volunteer time with. And I came down there because they asked me to come down and maybe hand out a few things and that kind of thing. And the next thing I know, they said, oh, well, I don't even remember the name of the country station. No offense, I don't listen to a whole lot of country music. I think it was WKCW or something like that. They said, they're here to cover the event. And since you're not going to play golf, why don't you go with Leland, some electrician I'd never met before, go sit up on the porch and they're going to interview you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sat there from just before 9 until about 11, and every few minutes, the DJ who was there and his partner would kick it over to one of us to talk about either Outdoorsmen for Christ or Redemption Ranch and dogs. So I sat there, and we were having all these conversations about Christianity, about the church. We got into things like, I wasn't driving this ship at all, but it was like whether or not it was right to use musical instruments when you worship, and there's a lot of Church of Christ influence, for those of you who know, there anyway, and people were talking about sermons they'd heard and all this kind of stuff, and I just thought to myself, what in the world is happening to me? How in the world did I get here into this moment where I am sitting in the kind of the no man's land between Mooresville and Martinsville, talking to a country music DJ about dogs and about Jesus and about hunting and fishing and things like that. But that's what I was doing. And let me just tell you, Leland, the electrician, I don't know a whole lot about him. And I know that there are certain things he was saying about the church that I would not want him to have said publicly, that he said between the bumpers, you know, between when we were talking on air. But I'm going to give Leland this. Leland had an outrageous passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he definitely wanted people to hear the gospel. And every time they flipped it over to him, he was inviting them to come out to their, this is what it was called, the Fur, Fin, and Feather Feast that they were having, a wild game feast, and he wanted them to come out and get involved. Why? So that they could hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was content to just let him talk because he was so excited about it. It was so amazing. And but I just kept thinking, what a wild turn of events that I'm just sitting here, you know, and I'm on country radio. I mean, half the time, no lie, the guy kept calling me Scott. And I didn't even correct him. And finally he said, wait, your name's not Scott, is it? I go, no. I mean, not on the radio. He goes, it's Steve. And so we came back on the air. He said, Scott had to leave, but Steve's here. That's actually true. And I respected the hustle there. But anyway, it was such a weird event. But I thought, God, thank you for putting us here. So some people are going to hear the gospel, maybe just because they want to go out to the Fur, Fin, Feather Feast and eat some game, you know, or whatever. Great. Well, you know what? An even weirder thing happened back in the first century. Go back to your first page to what Mike read. And he's totally right, by the way. He pronounced it Caesarea. Did I get that? Caesarea. Either way, it's more right than Caesarea, because as Eli would jump in quickly to tell you that historically, his title was not Caesar. It was pronounced more like Kaiser or Kaisar. So Mike was correct there. But here's this centurion named Cornelius. Now, what we know of him is he was what we would call a God-fearer. He hasn't fully converted to Judaism, but he worships the one true God. He hasn't been circumcised yet. He hasn't gone through full conversion, but it tells us that he's a centurion. He's a part of a group. His unit, so to speak, is the Italian cohort. He's a devout man who feared God with all his household, meaning they're all worshipers of Yahweh. He gave alms generously to the people. He prayed continually to God. And so this is who God chooses to send this vision. And he says, Cornelius, through this angel. And notice that this was completely unexpected. He stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And the angel departs, and he takes two faithful servants and a soldier who's also a God-fearer and sends them to Joppa. And then a second occurrence. Peter's in Joppa, where, by the way, he's not normally. He's only there because people called him there. We've skipped over that because they wanted to... they literally called him there because they said, this woman died and she's been great and she's been a part of our, what we'd say today, our church. Can you bring her back from the dead? And Peter did. By the power of Jesus Christ. And so Peter is still there. He's up on a housetop. He's up on a rooftop all alone. This is about 3 p.m. And he starts to be hungry as he's praying, and they're getting food ready. But while that's happening, he falls into a trance. And it says, the heavens opened up, and something like a great sheet descended, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, and reptiles, and birds of the air. All these different kinds of animals are there, and a voice says to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And like a good, faithful Jew, he's been raised to keep what we today call kosher, to not eat the unclean animals that are forbidden in the Old Testament. And he says, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again and says, what God has made clean, do not call common. And it happens three times. So God wants to drive home this message. And so as you flip the page back in verse 17, it says, but Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean. Yeah, I bet he was. I mean, if you've read this a lot, we kind of already know the story. But you have to think, Peter was like, what in the world is going on? And while he's there, the men that were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry, they found Simon the tanner's house. They're outside, and the Spirit says to him, to Peter, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. So Peter goes downstairs and says, hey, I'm the one you're looking for. Why did you come? And they say, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he ends up going. And I want to pause right there. We're reading the Bible, and so, you know, we think it's just full of things like this happening all the time. But even in their lives, it wasn't like every day these kind of things were happening. This was something, even for Peter, this was something unusual. Neither person has any idea what's about to happen. Certainly, Cornelius knows, okay, an angel appeared. And it was so startling that it said it literally, he just stared at the angel in terror. a strange vision comes to Peter. All of these animals appear before him. They're alive. And the voice, maybe he recognizes, maybe it was Jesus' voice. He says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he's like, "Lord, you know I've never done that. I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And he says, "Don't call anything common which I have made clean." And it happens three times. God is driving the point home. And then he says, "Hey, there are men outside. They've come for you. Go with them." I just want to point out that both of these men are being faithful to God in what they know to do. It's one of the reasons I brought up my new buddy Leland, the electrician. Leland, there's many a thing that we disagree on. But you know what? Leland knows that the only way anyone has any eternal hope in this line, in the next, for all eternity, is if they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so Leland was just nonstop talking about Jesus. Every time they flipped on the radio, literally, we're all sitting around on this old country porch, and we're sitting there at this table, and the guy's got his computer, and we know that, like, all the hits of Alan Jackson and things like that, and he'd go, "Okay, we got 30 seconds," and he'd come on, and he'd say, "Oh, that was Alan Jackson," saying, you know, whatever, you know, and he'd go, "So, Leland, we're here talking about," you know, and the next thing I know, Leland was rocking on that Jesus Christ is the Savior. "We want you to come out to our," again, I just love this thing, the fur fin feather feast, you know, "and we want you to come out and hear about Jesus." I mean, and he said some stuff that I'm not trying to make fun of me, but it was crazy. Like at one point he started talking about 16th Corinthians. I knew he meant Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16. He started saying some stuff that I was like, no, not right, but whatever. I mean, literally at one point he said, yeah, like 13th, 14th, 16th Corinthians, they're all about being a man and protecting your family. And I was like, no. But you know what? Praise the Lord. I mean this sincerely, because Leland was just like, really like, Jesus Christ is the Savior. He was being faithful to what God had given him. And this is going to sound like I'm taking him down. I'm not. Leland was not the world's greatest Bible scholar. But Leland knew, again, nobody's coming. Nobody's saved. Nobody has eternal life apart from faith in Jesus. And so he just kept hitting that note. And man, it was so good. Keep hitting it, Leland, the rest of your life. It was great. He was faithful to what he knew to do. Here, Peter doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know why he's being called. I mean, even literally when he gets there, he still doesn't know. It doesn't say that Jesus on the way said, "Hey, here's what I want you to say. Here's what they're going to talk about." Because he literally gets there and says, "Okay, God told me to come. I don't know why I'm here." But he was faithful. Cornelius doesn't know what in the world Peter's going to say. I love this, though. I mean, this would be a dream as a pastor. Somebody brings you in to do a gospel presentation, and they go, "Hey, I got everybody. Like, I called in my family. I got all the servants here." It says he gathered all these people, and they say, "And we're just waiting to hear what God told you to say." But here's one thing I'll just point out, that both of them clearly trust in this. And this is something, look, none of us know what tomorrow brings, right? Okay, I'm just going to give you an example. Some of you know this. In the last 2 weeks, both of my children have been hit by other people in their cars. And both of their cars, one car was definitely totaled, and we're waiting till Monday to find out if Eli's car was totaled. That's just life. You know, things happen we don't expect. We don't know what's coming over the horizon. But I know this. And Peter knows this. And even Cornelius, who was a God-fearer, who definitely wanted to serve the one true God of the universe. They both knew this. God is good. God is good. So they don't enter into this with fear. Peter doesn't go, "I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go." Cornelius doesn't say, maybe I shouldn't bring this guy up here. No, they trust in God's goodness. I love it. I mean, so they go. They make the journey. And Peter walks in. It says Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. You know, this is an emissary from God. He gets down on his feet. And we see this every time someone tries to worship anybody but Jesus. Angels do this. Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I too am a man. You don't worship me. You don't bow to me. You don't pray to me. Only Jesus. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why you sent for me? I love this, that Peter still doesn't even know. And so Cornelius tells him the story, and he says, now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. I mean, he just says, here, you know, an angel came. So I've gathered everybody. He doesn't even know the message that he's going to hear. But he says, you know, I want to hear what the Lord has sent you to tell us. So again, Peter opens his mouth. Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John the Baptist, proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, that they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. We'll come back to that. But Jesus raised him on the third day and made him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him and after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And then while he's proclaiming, while he's getting the message out, something like Pentecost happens. The Holy Spirit falls upon all of these Gentiles, and they begin to praise God and speak in tongues. Before we get there, I want you to notice, you know, this is huge. Again, because most of us, if not all of us, are completely Gentile, it may not seem that strange. But this is a world-changing event. Just like its prototype, the calling in of the Ethiopian eunuch that we looked at a couple of weeks before. And certainly it was a world-changing event, and it's even a part of what God is doing, that he called in Saul, who we know better as Paul, called in that Pharisee. But here is Peter, the leader of the apostles, and God has called him into a house full of uncircumcised Gentiles. Yeah, yes, they were God-fearers. Yes, they wanted to serve the one true God, but still, they haven't fully converted. They're not practicing Jews. They haven't become practicing Jews. And Peter says that. He says, you know, basically, I wouldn't normally be here. You know, we as Jews, we keep ourselves ceremonially clean. I wouldn't enter into the house of another person. You know, your food might make me unclean. Your house might not be ceremonially clean. He says, but you know what? God has told me anyone he has made clean is clean, and I shouldn't call them unclean. So here I am. God is calling in a people. And this is the moment that Christianity though it's going to still, even to this day, include and call in Jewish people, it's going to jump now into the Gentiles, into the nations. Every tribe, nation, language will be called in, and it begins right here. Also, this is the beginning of something that we see throughout the New Testament, the reconciliation of Jew and Gentile, the destruction of that wall. We're so used to it, we kind of blast over it. We go past it. We don't see that there is something amazing happening here, that God is calling in the Gentiles, that God is bringing together Jew and Gentile for all eternity, making them brothers and sisters in the Lord. And in case Peter even was tempted to think, is their faith real? God doesn't leave it up, you know, he doesn't leave it to chance for him to say, you know, are they real believers? Because what does it say? The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised, so those who came from Joppa with Peter, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And Peter realizes God's doing something here. He's doing something amazing, something unexpected. It's so unexpected that the next chapter says when he got back to Jerusalem, they literally called Peter up and said, hey, dude, what were you doing? That's the next thing that happens. They call in Peter and what they call the party of the circumcision. They're like, we heard you took the gospel to all those uncircumcised people. They don't start by rejoicing, the party of the circumcision. They're like, you took the gospel to the uncircumcised. And he says, I did. I mean, he probably said something like, man, I'm as shocked as you are. But guess what? The Holy Spirit fell on them. And they began to praise God. And they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they began to speak in tongues. It was amazing. So what does Peter say? He says, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, these people who have begun to believe that if they put their faith in Jesus, as it says here, they would receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Something amazing happened that literally we are the descendants of. It doesn't matter where we are. And literally, even in this small room, we've got people from multiple continents, right? We've got people from North America. We've got people who are descended from people from Asia. We've got people who are descended from Africa. And here we all are. You can come up and tell me later. I don't think any one of us is ethnically Jewish, even though God is still at work calling in ethnically Jewish people as well. We're the descendants, spiritually, of Cornelius. God is calling us in, has called us in. And this is the start, and it's amazing. The Holy Spirit continues to work to this day. Let me just quickly point out that he gives them basically the same message. He says, we were eyewitnesses of the life of Jesus, of the miracles he performed, of the power that God was at work through him. He also points out, again, we have to understand the Old Testament and its background here. He makes sure to say to them, and again, these are people who knew what we now call the Old Testament. They knew the Jewish scriptures. They probably were reading it in Greek, but they still knew the Jewish scriptures. He says, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. Why say that? Why say that? Because the Old Testament had said, cursed is anyone who had hung on a tree. He wants them to understand Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a righteous man. He wasn't just a great teacher. But he is one who was cursed by God, as Isaiah 53, on our behalf. He took the wrath of God upon him for our sins. Then he goes on to tell them that he rose from the dead, that he rose on the third day, and that he was a real man still. He wasn't just spirit. But that he was actual body. He says we ate and drank with him. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And then he talks about his ascension, how he's now ascended on high to be the judge of all things in end times. He gives them the same message we proclaim today. When we go to our friends and neighbors, and to our relatives, and even when we share it with our enemies, there's a sense in which this is love your enemy. It's real easy for us to think, oh, well, you know, this was like a nice Roman. He was still, to Jewish eyes, an invader, an occupier, an oppressor. And God said, Peter, go with them. And made it so that he preached the gospel even to his enemies. I love the story. I love the story. But here's the thing. Here's what I want us to take home today. God is still the same God. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. And yet God is still a good God. He is still with you. In life or in death, whatever comes today, tomorrow, this week, he is with you. His hand is upon you. The gospel's still the same. The gospel that we are to believe in, the gospel that we are to give to our children, the gospel that we are to give to our friends, the gospel that we are to give to our enemies, the gospel we want to see our missionaries take forward. And it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we should be regularly in prayer. In prayer for ourselves, in prayer for our friends and family, in prayer for the world. And pray for people like Leland, who all they want to do is talk about Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And even as you put Philip in the right place at the right time, you put Saul in the right place at the right time, and now we see you putting Peter at the right place at the right time, Lord, would you put each one of us in the right place at the right time, whether it's as father and mother with our children, or as grandparents, or as brother and sister, or as people in class, or at work, or in our neighborhood, Lord. Lord, put us in the right places at the right time that we might share your gospel. Lord, we also pray that we would remember that you are a good and wondrous God. You have us in your hands. We don't know what's coming, Lord, but you do. And your word says that all things work together for good for each one of us, if we are in Christ. So may we rest in your goodness. Be with us, bless us, go before us, Lord, and glorify yourself. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.